testimony coming from you. We thank you how you work things out, Lord. Yes. It doesn't matter what's going on all around us. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing or receiving. But as long as we put our trust in you, we can be the one that received from the Lord. So God, we say thank you. Thank you, Lord. We don't compare ourselves to what's going on with other people because we are a children of the Lord. We are children of the Most High God. And God, you watch out for us. You provide for us. So God, we say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, you can move a government if you have to. Thank you, Jesus. God, we say thank you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Yes, we love you. We thank you for these precious people that are here today. They're your precious people, and we thank you for every one of them in Jesus' name. We thank you for the precious ones on Zoom. God, we say thank you. Thank you for your people, Lord. We say thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. And I know you are like me. I was looking forward to hearing Jet today. Me too, Kim. Yeah, he'll be here next Sunday. Yeah, he couldn't. He wasn't able to. He called me last night, so. He'll be here next Sunday. So we praise God for that. We just praise God. Thank God for Mary coming back today. Amen. We're so happy to have you. Bam came back today, too. Thank you, Jesus. God is good, ain't he? Hey, Donnie and Kay got back today, and Lonnie. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. And my all-time favorites, Kim and and Fexon and Eve and Dan and Seth and Gabby. We praise God for all of y'all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Kay, I'm so glad you're feeling well enough to come out today. That's a blessing from the Lord. That's a blessing from the Lord. It sure is. Looking all good. She done lost some weight. I need to join on that wagon to lose some weight. Hey, man, that's the wagon I need to get on. But we praise God for everybody being here today. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Donna, your day coming. You like me. We're going to lose some. We're going to lose some. But we're going to go to the Word of God. We've been talking about our position in Christ. We talked about the fact that we dwell in our dwelling places in Christ. That's where we as Christians, that's where we live. We live and move and have our being where in Christ. In Christ. And we also talked about the fact that we have been redeemed. We've been redeemed in Christ. Our debt has been paid. We don't owe a debt for sin anymore. We don't have to look forward to or be afraid of the wrath of God because we've been redeemed. We've been redeemed. And today we're going to go to another in Christ reality for us as Christians. We're going to go to righteous in Christ. We are righteous in Christ. Dan was talking this morning about if all Christians could get just one scripture, it would change everything. If every Christian could really believe and live out the fact that we're righteous in Christ, that would change a whole lot of things. Yeah, a whole lot of things. Amen. 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 Now let's go to Romans 3:10. And we've been doing Romans, a study, verse by verse study in Romans in our Bible study on Wednesday nights. And it has been so good. We don't get very far, but it's been good. It's been really good. So let's look at Romans 3:10 this morning. And I'm going to read the King James Version. And Romans 3:10 says this. And the Bible is true. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So outside of Christ, there is none righteous. That's what Paul was trying to get them to see. I don't care if you're circumcised. I don't care if you are a Jewish person. I don't care if you call Abraham your father. I don't care if you're a member of the First Baptist Church on John Street, or where you're a member at. There is none righteous, no, not one outside of Christ. There's no righteousness outside of Christ. And we know there is self-righteousness, but God don't, he don't accept self-righteousness. He don't accept any righteousness except his own righteousness. So outside of Christ, there is none righteous, no, not one. So what does it mean to be righteous? What does it mean? What is righteousness? Righteousness is a state of him who is as he ought to be. Righteousness is a condition acceptable to God. So righteousness means we are put back in a state where we ought to be, in a place where what? We're acceptable to God. That's what righteousness is. It's equity of character or act. That means we're at a place now where we have value. When I thought about equity, we have homeowners in here. When you buy a home and you pay on that house, after a while you accumulate equity. That means you have some value in that home. Part of that home don't belong to you, but part of that home does. So in righteousness, we have equity in the fact that what? We have all of what's in Christ. It's not just part. Is full. So we have equity of character or act. And it's justification. Righteousness is thus conformity to the claims of high authority and stands in opposition to lawlessness. Righteousness is thus conformity to the claims of high authority, which is Jesus, the high authority, or God, Holy Spirit, and stands in opposition to lawlessness. Righteousness deals with character, conduct, and being just as one should be. Being just as one should be. So what is lawlessness? I was talking to my granddaughter one afternoon last week, and we were talking about sin. And we were talking about, you know, some people count one sin as being greater or bigger than another sin. So what is sin? I mean, people got all kinds of definitions of sin. They categorize sin. Like I said, they say one sin is bigger than another sin. But the Bible lets us know that lawlessness is sin. And lawlessness is the opposite of righteousness. You either have the righteousness of God or you're in lawlessness. So what is lawlessness? This is really, the only sin is lawlessness. It covers everything. Not being submitted to the authority of God and his word. If you're not submitted to the authority of God and his word, you are lawless. You're living a lawless life, and that's sin. So when Adam disobeyed God, Adam stepped out of God's authority and his righteousness, and stepped into lawlessness outside of God's authority. And the whole world that's outside of Christ is really a lawless world because they're not submitted to the authority of God. They're not submitted to the authority of God. So righteousness is being just like God always intended for us to be. Being under his authority. Allowing God to what? To be in us what he's put in us. But guess what? We have no power of our own to obtain that type of righteousness. Anything we do to try to get that type of righteousness, other than by faith, is unattainable, and it's called self-righteousness. I don't care if I worked all my days trying to live up to God's righteousness. I could never do it. It would always be self-righteousness. I would never be able to obtain it. So where does righteousness come from? If it doesn't come from me, if it doesn't come from my self-effort, if it doesn't come from us trying to be righteous, people, stop trying to be righteous. Your trying will never get you righteous. You know, whatever we do, it will never get us to where we can please God within our own selves. It's just not there. So where does it come from? Where does righteousness come from? Romans 3:22 says this. God's righteousness comes through faith in Christ. God's righteousness comes through faith in Christ. God does not accept self-righteousness. God does not accept us trying to obtain righteousness by our own self-effort. But righteousness, God's righteousness comes through faith in Christ. It's not through a law. It's not through joining a church. It's not through being baptized. It's not through trying in self-effort to be righteous, to live righteous. But it's through faith in Christ. God's righteousness comes through faith in Christ. Let's read Romans 5:18. But a good thing about it, if you accept that Christ is your Savior, you are righteous. We're going to get to that, but you are righteous. Let's look at Romans 5:18. We're going to go to Dan's favorite, the Passion Translation. That's one of my favorites too. Romans 5:18 in the Passion Translation says this. In other words, just as condemnation came upon all people through one transgression, so through one righteous act of Jesus' sacrifice, the perfect righteousness that makes us right with God and leads us to a victorious life is now available to all. In other words, condemnation came upon all of us through one man's transgression, and that was Adam. So through one righteous act of Jesus' sacrifice, him sacrificing himself on the cross for us, he was the perfect sacrifice. Then we receive the perfect righteousness that makes us right with God and leads us to a victorious life is now available to all. So God's righteousness, what? It's perfect. It makes us right with God, and it's come through faith in Christ. You put your faith in Christ, and God imparts unto you righteousness. He makes us righteous in our spirit man. And because of that righteousness, the word of God said, it leads us to a victorious life. A victorious life. And we're not living in victory. We don't realize how righteous we are. And we're not living in victory. We're not realizing what we have in Christ. We are righteous. And that righteousness leads us into a what? Victorious life. It's not easy to believe that you're righteous once you receive Christ. And you look at yourself, so I don't look righteous. I ain't even living righteous right now. So how in the world can I be righteous? You know what? Because God's not looking at you. He's looking at Jesus. He's looking at Jesus. And he has imputed that righteousness of Jesus to us. It's through Christ we have been made righteous. Do you believe it this morning? Kay, are you righteous? Say it, girl. Say, yes, I'm righteous. Yes, you are. You accepted Christ, so you're righteous. You are righteous. Amen. That's it. That's it, Mary. Mary said you're just as righteous as anybody else. So God's righteousness is imputed and imparted as a gift to man. And not earned. It results in God's act of justification by faith through Christ. God's righteousness was imputed to us. It was imparted to us as a gift and not earned. And not earned. And not earned. Y'all ought to get up in the morning, look in the mirror and say, you old righteous thing, you. You are just as righteous as God has made you. And that's true. And that is so true. Let's go to Romans 5:19, the Passion Translation. Again. Romans 5:19, the Passion Translation says this. One man's disobedience opened the door for all humanity to become sinners. That was Adam. Adam disobeyed God. So also one man's obedience, talking about Jesus, opened the door for many to be made perfectly right with God and acceptable to him. You don't have to wonder anymore, does God accept you? If you accepted Jesus, he accepts you. He accepts you. You are acceptable. You are acceptable. Sam, you're acceptable. God accepts you. He accepts you as a daughter. He accepts all of us because we have accepted Christ. Are we living perfectly? Do we cross the T, all the T's and dot all the I's? No, we don't. But God accepts us because we accepted Christ. Because we accepted Christ. Does that mean God wants us to stay where we are? No. He wants us to grow in grace. He wants us to grow in the knowledge of Jesus. He wants us to grow in holiness. He wants us to grow in sanctification. He wants us to grow in him. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1:30. And we're going to go to the Amplified version of this. And I like the way the Amplified sometimes kind of explains stuff and adds some more to it. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But it is from him, God, that you have your life in Christ Jesus. Remember I told y'all that's our dwelling place, that's where we live? We live in Christ. We dwell in Christ. So it's from God that we have our life in Christ. Our life in Christ can't even be compared to that life outside of Christ. We all had a life outside of Christ. And I don't know about you, I don't want that life no more. I done tried my way. My way won't no good. It didn't work too good. I did it my way, but I didn't like it, Kim. I didn't like it my way. I like it much better, what? In Christ. But it is from him, God, that you have your life in Christ Jesus, from whom God made our wisdom from God. He made Christ, what? Wisdom to us. We ain't so smart without him, but with him, we have wisdom. Revealed to us a knowledge of the divine plan of salvation previously hidden, manifested itself as our righteousness. Without the wisdom of God, we would have never known about salvation. We would have never known about God's divine plan had not God drawn us by the Holy Spirit and manifest this righteousness, our righteousness, in Christ, thus making us upright and putting us in right standing with God. So that righteousness makes us upright and put us in what? Right standing with God because of Christ. Oh, I'm so glad I'm in Christ. I'm so glad I'm not outside of Christ. I'm so glad I have his righteousness. I have his wisdom. We're in Christ. You're not outside of Christ. Eve, you got your blessing because you're in Christ. Doesn't matter about who all those around you, as long as you're in Christ, that's where your blessings are. We're blessed in Christ. Then it says our consecration, making us pure and holy. You know, in Christ, you're made pure and holy. You're made pure and holy in Christ. We don't act like it all the time. We don't do things that are pure and holy, but in Christ, we're pure and holy. Our redemption, providing our ransom from eternal penalty of sin, is in Christ. And we've already talked about our redemption. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the Passion Translation. I read that before. We're going to do 17, 18, and 19, and 20, and 21 in the Passion Translation. Now, if anyone is enfolded in Christ, You know how you, ladies, you know how you make, Dan, you cook too. You know how y'all make a cake and you put everything in there, and you put your ingredients there, then you enfold everything all together. You mix it, everything get all enfolded together. And then you can't tell the butter from the sugar. You can't take out the flavor, cake the flavor. You can't take out the eggs. You can't take out nothing you enfolded in that cake. Everything's all mixed up together and enfolded together. Well, the word says in the Passion Translation, we are what? Enfolded in Christ. I can't pull you out of Christ if I try. You can't pull me out of him if you try. Because when you look in my spirit, you see Jesus. And eventually, if I obey God, I'm going to start acting like Jesus. Step by step, as we obey the word of God, we follow the Holy Spirit, we start acting just like Jesus. Enfolded in Christ. And has become an entirely new creation. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. 18 verse in the Passion Translation said, and God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself and given us the ministry of reconciling others to God. In other words, it was through the anointed one that God was shepherding the world, not even keeping records of their transgressions. And he has entrusted to us the ministry of opening the door of reconciliation to God. Now, everybody got a ministry. If you don't know what you think you know what your ministry is, I'm just getting ready to tell you. This is your ministry. We are ambassadors of the anointed one who carry the message of Christ to the world. We are ambassadors of the anointed one who carry the message of Christ to the world. As though God was tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. So we tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf, turn back to God and be reconciled to him. And what are we to tell the world once we are giving them the gospel? Tell them this, Romans 5:21. For God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we who did not know righteousness might become the righteousness of God through our union with him. You see, people in the world don't know that. We're ambassadors of Christ. We should be telling them that. We shouldn't be telling them, you're going to die and go to hell. If you don't change, you're going to go to hell. Well, the first thing is they can't change themselves. They have to receive Christ. He do the changing. He does the changing. He does the changing. The gospel of Christ reveals righteousness. So how does righteousness in us reveal? Now that we are righteous, we receive Christ. Righteousness has been imparted and imputed unto us in our spirit man. How does this righteousness be revealed? Let's look at Romans 1:16 and 17. How is righteousness revealed in us? It's in you, but how is it revealed? How does it come out? How is it seen? How do you live out the righteousness that's already been given you that you didn't earn? Romans 1:16 says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. So the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. The 17th verse says this, for in it, talking about the gospel of Christ, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So righteousness is revealed from faith to faith. And it's revealed through the gospel, through our faith in the gospel. When we believe the gospel, when we believe the word of God, the righteousness of God is revealed in us. People begin to see the righteousness of God. When we believe God and receive our healing, the righteousness of God is revealed in that because people see, okay, God's righteousness is healing. God's righteousness is healing. Sickness does not reveal the righteousness of God. Healing does. Healing does. Walking in love reveals the righteousness of God. Hate doesn't. When we, by faith, receive the word of God, obey the word of God, we are revealing the righteousness of God. And the world can only see it through us. They can only see it through us. Our family can only see it through us. People close to us can only see it to us. What have you been revealing? What have you been revealing? Have you been revealing the righteousness of God? Have you been revealing how righteous God is? How the goodness of God is his righteousness? It's by faith. We've already covered that righteousness cannot be earned. Let's look at Romans 4:5, Passion Translation. Romans 4:5, Passion Translation. But no one earns God's righteousness. No one can earn God's righteousness. It can only be transferred when we no longer rely on our own works, but believe in the one who powerfully declares the ungodly to be righteous in his eyes. God has declared us righteous through Jesus Christ. Because we're in Christ, we have been declared righteous. We can't earn it. We have been declared righteous. We can't rely on our own works, but we have been declared righteous. It is faith that transfers God's righteousness into our account. Faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, receiving him as Savior and Lord, it transfers the righteousness of God, what? Into our account. What did God say about Abraham before Jesus was even born? He said in Romans that Abraham's faith in God, because he believed the promise of God, it was accounted to him for what? Righteousness. Abraham's faith got him the righteousness of God. Same way it does us. Same way it does us. I get so excited when I read the word of God, when I think about how fair the word of God is. How it's without favoritism. It has no favoritism. It works for anybody that believes. It doesn't matter how smart you are or how much education you got, how much money you got. If you believe the word of God, it will work for you. If you're a child of God, you're a child of God. If you have received him, you received him. And the word of God will work for you. It's no partiality. There ain't need of me getting jealous with Eve. You know, if she's growing in God and doing what God want to do and obeying the word of God, and she just that Eve, she is just growing in God. Seems like she's just going on in the Lord. Well, if we do what we're supposed to do, we'll go on and grow too. We'll go on and grow too. That's right. We'll see his favor. We'll see his favor. Let's look at Romans 10:10. New King James Version this time. The word of God and the favor of God and the things of God are without partiality. They are without partiality. No, don't ever think God loves somebody. If you're a child of God, don't ever think God loves another child more than he loves you. He loves you just as much. Yes, that's right, Mary. Romans 10:10, New King James Version. But with the heart, one believes unto righteousness. What did that say? With the heart, one believes unto righteousness. With the heart, one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Another message I preached a few Sundays ago was, let the word out. Let it out. If you believe you have righteousness in your heart, Then you confess that with your mouth. Let the word of God out of your mouth. Don't be afraid to say who you are. Stand up bold and speak who you are. Let the devil know you know who you are. You are powerful and effective. If you are righteous, and you, if you have received Christ, we've already established that fact, you are righteous. Then if you are righteous, you are powerful and effective. Let's go to James 5:16. We read these verses, and we act like it's talking about somebody else and not us. But it's talking about us. James 5:16, I'm going to read what the complete Jewish Bible says. Therefore, openly acknowledge your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, are you a righteous person? So your prayer is what? Powerful and effective? Yes. Yes. Next on. Are you a righteous man? Then what are your prayers? And effective. Amen. Powerful and effective. Now, Donna, have you been praying like you're powerful and effective in your prayers? That's right. Your prayers are powerful and effective because you are a righteous person. It gave us the example of Elijah, and he was a man of passion. That means he got mad on occasion. But his prayers were powerful and effective because he was righteous. And we have a better covenant. We have a better covenant. And guess what? If you're righteous, God sees you. He sees you. Let's look at 1 Peter 3:12. 1 Peter 3:12, New King James Version. So don't ever think God don't see you. He sees you. He sees you. He knows everything you're going through. He knows everything you're suffering with. He knows every weakness, everything you're battling with and trying to overcome. He sees all of that. 1 Peter 3:12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are on who? The righteous. Now, does God see you? Yes, he does, because you're righteous. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their what? Prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, and those are the ones that are not righteous, that are not in Christ. If you're in Christ, he sees you. He hears your prayers. So don't ever pray and act like you're not righteous. You're righteous. So God hears you. He sees you. He knows all about what you're going through. We are to practice righteousness. 1 John 2:29, King James Version. If you know that he is righteous, and we know God is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. You're born of him. So how do we practice righteousness? We've already said that. What? By faith. When we believe the word of God, by faith and walk in the word of God, then we are practicing the righteousness of God. Amen. You're practicing righteousness. You're practicing who you are. Amen. We are slaves of righteousness. Romans 6:17. Romans 6:17, New King James Version. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine with which you were delivered. Verse 18, and having been set free from sin, you became what? Slaves of righteousness. We are now slaves or servants of righteousness. God's kingdom is righteousness. Romans 4:17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And now 1 Corinthians 15:34 tells us to wake up. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says this, awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness. Stop sleeping. Stop slumbering. Stop not realizing who you are, but wake up to righteousness. Realize that you are righteous. Realize that righteousness is in you. Wake up, Dan. Wake up to righteousness. Okay. I had to get your name in there. I called everybody else today. But wake up to righteousness. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. So how do you not sin? You wake up to righteousness. You acknowledge the fact that you are righteous. Know who you are in Christ. I'm gonna read what the Passion Translation says about this. The Passion Translation says in that same verse, come back to your right senses. Yes, Lonnie. And awaken to what is right. Come back to your right senses and awaken to what is right. Repent from your sinful ways. For some have no knowledge of God. Wonderful love. You should be ashamed that you make me right this way to you. That's what Paul is saying to the Corinthians. Because the Corinthians were associated with the unsaved, ungodly people. And some of that was rubbing off on them. So Paul would tell them, okay, you done going to sleep. You're not thinking about who you are. So, you know, come back to your senses and awaken to what is right. In my closing, I want to look at a portion of the armor of God. Ephesians 6:14. It says, Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. A breastplate protects your heart. It protects your heart. When you put on the breastplate of righteousness, you are righteous, but if you don't put it on, you don't acknowledge you're righteous, you haven't put it on. Then when you put on the breastplate of righteousness and know you're righteous, you know who you are in Christ, it protects your heart from the enemy. Because the enemy is going to attack your identity. He's going to attack who you say you are. He's going to attack who the Bible says you are. But if you have on that breastplate of righteousness and you know you're righteous in Christ, and you know all the things that are yours because of your righteousness, then you have protected yourself. And when the enemy comes and attack you, he can't take you down. He can't stop you. He can't hinder you. He can't take you out because you know who you are. I know I'm righteous. I know I'm righteous. So even though I might didn't act righteous right then, all I have to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry. That's not who I am. I don't want to be that way no more. I'm righteous. And I want to walk in my righteousness. I want to talk in my righteousness. I want to think in my righteousness. I want to live in my righteousness. Let's look at 1 Peter 1:15. And it says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because as it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Do you think God would ever tell you to be something that you're not? Or that's not already in you? You just have to allow it to come out? I don't think so. Be holy, for I am holy. Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So where is the old man? In your mind and your body. The old man has trained your thinking and has trained your body. So our mind must be renewed with God, must be renewed with God's word of seeing and thinking. We got to renew our minds. And once we renew our mind to God's way of thinking, God's way of living, then our body will follow. If you're born again, that old nature is gone. But your mind remembers that old way. Your mind remembers those old things. And you have to let your mind know by renewing your mind in the word of God, okay, that's not me anymore. I'm righteous now. And righteous folks act differently. Righteous people think differently. Righteous people speak differently. Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24 of Ephesians 4, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So now you are righteous and you are holy. But how do I put on this new man? How do I put the new man on? From the inside out. We live from our inside out. We live from our spirit. Remember, walk in the spirit, and you will what? Not fulfill the desires of the flesh. You are righteous. And we can live out that righteousness every day of our lives. We can live righteous because that's who we are. We can call on all our benefits of being righteous because what? That's who we are. We have the power in us to live that way because that's who we are. Because Christ lives in us and we have Holy Spirit in us. You are righteous. You are powerful. You are effective. God sees and hears you. You are holy and you are right standing with God. And sin does not have dominion over you because now you are not a slave to sin. You are a slave to righteousness. You just have to believe that and walk it out. Believe it and walk it out. Believe it and walk it out. Believe it and walk it out. In the name of Jesus, let's stand. Are there any prayer requests? That's a good idea. Y'all join hands. You want to join hand with your family members, that's fine. And Mary, you jump in wherever you want to jump in at. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And God, our desire is to wake up to righteousness. We want to wake up to who we are. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have Jesus' righteousness. That same righteousness, God, that you put on him, he wanted to have given to us. He won the battle for us. We have right standing with you, God, because of Jesus. In him we have it. So, God, we say thank you. Thank you for the righteousness you've given us, your righteousness, Father God, in Christ Jesus. And because we're righteous, our prayers are answered. We are powerful and effective. You see, you hear us. You know everything about us. So God, we say thank you. We are a powerful, powerful people because now we are no longer who we used to be. The old man is gone. We just have to allow ourselves to stand up and say, old man, you are dead. You have no authority over me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. And God, we are continuously renewing our mind. We are continuously getting in the word of God, continuously allowing that new man to take over and the old man to go. God, we say thank you. We say thank you. Thank you, Father God. Yes, yes, yes. And we are your ambassadors. Tell others that they have been reconciled to you, Father God, through Christ Jesus. So God, we thank you today for making us righteous. for imparting that righteousness to us, for seeing us the very same way you see Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to continue to work in us. Working us from the inside out. Bringing out of us everything you put in us. Clothing us with everything you put in us. God, we say thank you. We say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. We're dismissed. Consider yourself dismissed. Thank you, Zoom people. Consider yourself dismissed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Y'all trying to decide where to go eat?